about that class presentation? Come on down to the Oral Communication Center, or OCC for short. We offer support for students who need help with their communication and public speaking skills. We're based in the Skinner Building in room 2117 from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. But if you need a little help in the afternoon, we're in McKeldin Library room 2111 after 4 p.m. Go to umd.mywconline.net to schedule an appointment, but walk-ins are always welcome. See you there.
Good evening. You're listening to WMUC Radio News' weekly roundup for April 20th, 2026. On WMUC FM College Park, I'm Alex Taylor.
And I'm Adam Martin. Tonight we'll hear from the outgoing student government president about his term, how a fight between the Catholic Church and the president is impacting U.S. politics, and much more.
But first, University of Maryland students are waiting to see who will lead the student government. According to Student Government Association violation records, both candidate tickets have been disqualified. The record cites the Roll Terps ticket for a ticket collusion done in bad faith. The violations for the Justice UMD ticket are two counts of campaigning prior to the official start date and one count of campaigning in bad faith. Both tickets appealed, but the decisions were upheld. The next step in the process is for the SGA to verify the election results. Two candidates for college representatives ran as independents and were not affected by the disqualifications. The SGA has not announced whether or not there will be another election.
As the end of his term draws near, SGA President Drew Vacmironi sat down with WMUC News' Sophia Parkins and talked about his time in the hot seat.
Drew Vacmironi is a senior computer science and international relations major, but he leaves his senior year with a larger mark than most, as he has served as student body president for the 2025 to 2026 school year. Here are his closing thoughts and advice for the current presidential candidates.
I've developed really close partnerships with both the GSG and RHA, and earlier this year, we sent a joint letter on behalf of all three of our student governments to the university administration, outlining some of our observations over the past several years of where university communications has often fallen short.
Morani stated the teams used the university's recent responses to crises, like the steam outage, to outline those changes. Morani also faced challenges as well.
Bringing together students from a wide range of schools of thought, especially when it comes to really hot topic issues like Israel and Palestine.
Morani said he overcame this challenge by prioritizing inclusivity.
It's important to be willing to build coalitions that everybody doesn't have to agree on every single issue, but it's important that people are able to come together on issues that we know are impacting all students.
Morani also shared some advice for future SGA leaders.
One of the pieces of advice that a former student body president gave me, not this most recent one, but a one in the past, he reached out to me after I was elected. He said, know what you don't know and have people around you who know what you don't.
For WMUC News, I'm Sophia Parkins.
Thanks, Sophia. Following the start of the Iran war, President Donald Trump has sparked an unlikely feud with the Catholic Church. WMUC News' Kate Heiderman has more.
Pope Leo XIV has been increasingly vocal in his criticism of the U.S. and Israel's war with Iran, which began in late February. During a speech in Cameroon on April 16th, Leo said,
"Woe to those who manipulate religion in the very name of God for their own military, economic, or political gain, dragging that which is sacred into darkness and filth."
Leo, a Chicago native, is the first U.S.-born head of the Catholic Church. In his speech, he continued,
"It is a world turned upside down, an exploitation of God's creation that must be denounced and rejected by every honest conscience."
Last week, President Trump fired back in a Truth Social post, calling the Pope weak on crime and terrible for foreign policy.
"And I'm not a big fan of Pope Leo. He's a very liberal person, and he's a man that doesn't believe in stopping crime."
The president has also faced backlash online after sharing a now-deleted post to Truth Social. The post included an AI-generated image of Trump in a biblical-style robe, appearing to heal a bedridden man with glowing hands. The Christ-like imagery drew sharp criticism, including from former Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, who said the post had an anti-Christ spirit. Despite the president's criticism, the Pope is unwavering in his stance.
"I have no fear, neither the Trump administration nor speaking out loudly about the message of the gospel. And that's what I believe. I am called to do what the church is called to do."
For WMUC News, I'm Kate Heiderman.
Now it's time for the Terp Sports Recap. The number 7 ranked men's lacrosse team lost its annual rivalry game with number 12 Johns Hopkins on Saturday, losing 9-8 on the road in Baltimore. The loss really stings for the Terps, who would have won the outright Big Ten title had they pulled off the win over the Blue Jays. Instead, Maryland found itself in a four-way tie atop the Big Ten and got seeded third in the conference tournament bracket. UMD, who likely needs to run the table to make the NCAA tournament at this point, hosts sixth-seeded Rutgers in the first round on Saturday.
The number 3 ranked women's lacrosse team lost its second straight game Thursday to number 11 Michigan, but bounced back with a win over Ohio State in the regular season finale. Following their late-season struggles with the top teams in the conference, the Terps fell to the 2-seed in the Big Ten tournament. Already safely in the field for the NCAA tournament, a good run in the conference bracket could give the Terps a home field advantage. Maryland will have a rematch with 7-seeded Ohio State in the first round Wednesday.
The Terps baseball team had a frustrating weekend in Iowa, losing 2 out of 3 in its conference series with the Hawkeyes. Maryland had an early lead in Game 1, but a thunderstorm in Iowa postponed the rest of Friday's contest until Saturday. The Terps lost their momentum, blowing their lead from the previous day, and getting mercy ruled in the second half of the doubleheader. Maryland salvaged a win in the Sunday finale when the Terps exploded for 7 runs in the 7th inning. Maryland plays midweek at Mount St. Mary's on Tuesday before heading to Michigan State for a weekend series.
The Terps softball team won its first conference series of 2026 over the weekend, winning 2 of 3 against Illinois. Utility player Anna McGowan hit her 10th home run of the season in the Saturday game, becoming the first UMD hitter to reach the double-digit home runs this season. Though the Terps are now mathematically eliminated from competing in the Big Ten tournament next month, the wins give Maryland a winning record at home this season, an improvement from 2025. All of UMD's remaining games are on the road, starting with Tuesday's matchup at Delaware. That concludes the Terps Sports Recap, and that's it for your weekly roundup. I'm Alex Taylor.
And I'm Adam Martin. You're listening to WMUC 90.5, where college radio is good radio. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at WMUC Radio News and like us on Facebook. This show is directed by Elizabeth Polo, produced by Alex Taylor, Alicia Colgrove, Ryan J. Ross, Emma Levine, and our senior producer, Rianne Evans. Contributors to this week's show include Alex Taylor, Sophia Parkins, Kate Heiderman, and our lead sports writer, Andy Parr.
right. And what am I gonna be doing for a while? Said I'm gonna play with myself. Show them now we've come off the shell. So what?
Summertime, the living's easy. Riley's on the microphone with Ross FG. All the people in the dance will agree that we're well qualified to represent the LBC. G, me and Louis ran to the party and dance to the rhythm. It gets hot. Most definitely evil, only scandalous and evil. Most definitely the tension is getting hotter. I'd like to hold her head underwater. My girl, we got a relationship. Oh, and my girl, got a
take a dip from me. Riley's on the microphone with Ross MG. All the people in the dance will agree that we're well qualified to represent the LBC. Me, la la, we want everybody.
Thank you. adopted and I made her. One for the now and a living for the later. Never made it up to Minnesota. North Dakota man with a gun for the quota. Down in the Badlands, she was saving the best for last. It only hurts when I land.
We're going down, 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 down talking and pulling, we're going dada. And pull it.
I'm all cried out, just can't cry me no more. No, I can't. My hard knocks came falling down the day she walked right out of my door. I wore a hole. Walking across my floor, I'm all cried out.
I was listening to the ocean. I saw a face in the sand, but when I picked it up, then it vanished away from my hands. Done. I had a dream. I was seven, climbing my way in a tree. I saw a piece of heaven waiting in patience. And I was running far away. Would I run off the world someday? Nobody knows, nobody knows. And I was dancing in the rain. I felt alive and I can't complain. But no, take me home where I belong. I can't take it anymore. I was pain. picture was a painting of you. And for a moment I thought you were happy, but then again it wasn't true. And all this time I have been lying, oh, lying in secret to myself. I've been putting sorrow on the forest place on my shelf. La-di-da. And I was running far away. Would I run off the world someday? Nobody knows, nobody knows. And I was dancing in the rain, I felt alive and I can't complain.
Hello, it is 5:29, and you're listening to WMUC-FM College Park Radio. That was Runaway by Aurora. I'm WMUC news producer Carrie, alongside Kira and Dior. This week is our first show of the semester with three stories, so get ready, because you're never too old to talk about Disney. You may need your glasses on for these productions, which we'll be discussing later on, but not the regular kind. So, this past week, Disney announced their schedule of movie releases for the next 5 years. Between Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars, there will be over 40 movies released by 2031. While there are some brand new stories, most films will be sequels, re-releases, or live-action remakes. To name a few, Toy Story 5, live-action Moana, Star Wars Starfighter, The Simpsons 2, Frozen 3, Lilo and Stitch 2, Incredibles 3 and Avatar 4 and 5 will be released. There are a handful of others, some of which are unnamed at this time. This schedule gave fans a ton to anticipate. However, there has been discussion through the media about Disney's immense time allotted for some movies. For example, the sequel to The Simpsons will be released over 20 years after the original. Fans often complain about the astronomical breaks between movies, yet sometimes that's what gives them the most traction. For many movies, it's Disney's intention to wait because the company doesn't want anticipation for a movie to be too short and excitement to just come and go. This method worked for them with Zootopia 2, which was released 9 years after the original. According to the Walt Disney Company, it's the first animated movie to rack in over $1 billion since Lilo and Stitch. So, we could say there's a method to this magic. So, does Disney's long waits between sequels and remakes bother you guys at all?
I would say for me, not really at all. I mean, I know I saw Zootopia 2, and the first one came out when I was in, like, sixth grade, and I still enjoyed it just as much. I went with my whole family, and we had such a good time. I will say, like, in terms of, like, nostalgia, not that I can really have much nostalgia, because I'm not that, I'm only 20, but I do, like, when I think about, like, live-action remakes and sequels and things like that, like, I'm always going to want to go see Frozen 3, because I remember seeing Frozen 1 and 2 when I was younger, so I really think it's working for them, and people might complain, but I mean, clearly with, like you said, Zootopia 2, people were coming to go see it, so.
I'm going to go ahead and say yes. It does annoy me. But I can't expect them to produce magic on my time frame. The only reason it annoys me is because my own children will outgrow any interest in seeing The Incredibles, and I want to see the third one. So that's my only complaint.
Very fair. So what movie are you looking forward to in the coming years?
For me, I've got to probably say, looking at them, Frozen 3 I'm really excited for, and live-action Moana. I know that all those live-action remakes get a lot of hate, but I've honestly found a way to enjoy every single one, especially when it comes to the princess movies. Like, I just watched live-action Beauty and the Beast the other day. I love them so much, and I'm excited to see The Rock with hair.
Well, that actually levels up, doesn't it? I am very excited by the idea of live-action Moana. Frozen 2, I felt pretty annoyed by, so I don't know if I'm going to get hooked on seeing the sequel to that, but live-action Moana, I'm, you know, going to have to go see it. And Incredibles 3, I'm definitely going to have to see that one.
Yeah, I think I'll be most excited for The Incredibles 3. I grew up watching The Incredibles, and seeing the second one was definitely super exciting because they also took a really long break, so we'll see if the third one's any good.
And
yes, we can. It is now time for a music break. Here's Mrs. Magic by Strawberry Guy.
Thank you.
All right, now let's get into some new music news by still sort of sticking to this Disney theme. Singer and former Disney Channel star Olivia Rodrigo released her new single, Drop Dead, on Friday. She also released a music video for the song where she can be seen running around the Palace of Versailles. The song is the first single off her upcoming album, You Seem Pretty Sad, for a Girl in Love. The song is rumored to be about her former boyfriend, Louis Partridge. While the couple allegedly broke up in December, the song makes several references to the actor, including the mention of a Gemini, which is Partridge's star sign. The song also makes a reference to the band The Cure with the lyric, "You know all the words to Just Like Heaven, and I know why he wrote them now that you're standing right here." She performed the song for the first time live at Coachella this weekend, making a surprise appearance during Addison Rae's set. Rodrigo has never played at Coachella herself, but also came out as a guest during No Doubt's reunion set in 2024. Her third album is set to be released on June 12th and will have 13 songs, including Drop Dead. So my first question for you guys is, are you fans of Olivia Rodrigo?
Absolutely yes. Absolutely yes. I love how angry she sings. I'm a fan of angry singing.
So fair. I definitely agree with that.
I used to not be a huge fan, but one of my best friends, Olivia's his favorite singer. So we've definitely belted some songs together and I've gotten more into her. So I'm a fan.
Well, my next question for you guys is a little bit more fun. So if you had a dream Coachella set or performer and a guest singer that would come out with them, who would it be? Anybody in the world?
Oh, I prepared for this. So I would want her to come out with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And I would want them to do Good For You, All American Bitch, and Can't Catch Me Now.
Wow, that's a good lineup.
I should be programming at Coachella. Coachella, I'm available.
I'd support you on that venture.
Oh, thank you. I have an endorsement as well.
Oh, that was a really good answer. Red Hot Chili Peppers are one of my favorites right now. I think... Okay, this is really hard. I did not prepare for this at all. I'm trying to go back and forth between an artist that I know and love or someone that I've never seen before, but I think I'm going to go with Stevie Nicks, and she brings out Harry Styles, and they do another cover together, but like Fleetwood Mac, whole band in their prime. I would love it.
That would always be great.
See, Carrie, I knew you were going to put a Harry Styles in there, and I was hoping you would, because you know that is exactly what I would say. I don't care that I've already seen him in concert. Harry Styles coming out, and then, I don't know, like, in terms of a guest, I would have to say maybe, like, in a crazy world, Taylor Swift, because I'd love to see them on stage together, and I know it would never happen. But, yeah. Well, appropriately, now it's time for a music break. Here's, of course, Drop Dead by Olivia Rodrigo.
Closes at 11. I hope you never finish that beer. You know all the words to Just Like Heaven, and I know why he wrote them now that you're standing right here.
Yeah. start France. I've been dropping hints all night that I'd love if you held my hand. Goddamn, in the middle we could make out. Close off and fall to the ground. Let's go steady, let's go out. And tell the whole damn world how one night I was born in bed and stalked you on the internet. It's feminine intuition, cause I always had a vision of a standing like this. All pressed up in the back room, blinding you, looking like an angel on the walls of Versailles. The most alive I've ever been, but kiss me in the night. High seats and a gentleman.
Now let's talk about smart glasses and privacy. Meta's smart glasses, made with Oakley and Ray-Ban, combine style with technology, including hands-free communication, digital displays, and cameras that have been used to secretly record unsuspecting people in public. Last year, consumers purchased more than 7 million pairs. We'll soon see Google's latest version of AI-powered glasses made in collaboration with Warby Parker. A week ago, the American Civil Liberties Union, along with more than 75 public advocacy organizations, including the Electronic Frontier Foundation, sent a letter to Mark Zuckerberg objecting to plans for facial recognition features, noting that such technology endangers people and undermines civil rights. In 2024, Harvard students paired existing smart glasses with a commercial facial recognition tool to identify strangers on the Boston subway in real time, demonstrating how instantaneously the technology could become a threat. In their letter to Zuckerberg, the ACLU cited internal documents that showed Meta planned to release the facial recognition feature when civil rights advocates would be too overwhelmed by the current political climate to object to what the ACLU considers inherently invasive and unethical technology. Meta's smart glasses are similar to Google's original Google Glasses, which debuted in 2013 and were widely despised for how invasive they were. People wearing them were called glass holes. A new app called Nearby Glasses searches for smart glasses and alerts you if they're in your vicinity, but the app can't tell if the glasses are recording. Maryland law, for what it's worth, dear Terps, requires all-party consent to record. Violation is a felony. So my questions to you, would you want to know if someone around you is wearing smart glasses and possibly recording?
I definitely would. I know that's not really a fair ask, because if I'm in public, then someone can photograph or record me at any time. But a few weeks ago, maybe less than that, I was on a UMD bus and someone was wearing Meta glasses recording us. And we realized because the little flash was on, and it was definitely a really disturbing experience. And of course, we were on his glasses camera and we asked him to stop and he didn't. So I would definitely like to know if it's not clear.
No, I definitely agree. I think that the entire concept is just sort of like, I don't know. I don't really want to go out in public and think that all the time someone can be secretly recording me, especially because, like, I mean, most of the time I'm probably not doing anything that I care about, but then it's like, why do you want that video of me? And then a whole other can of worms is opened up. So I would say in general, yes, and I don't know, the idea of wearing them and recording people is just creepy to me, because why do you want videos of random people?
Right. Yes, exactly right. But also, to your point, the expectation that because you're in public means that anybody could record or photograph you, that's not actually within your rights. And so we've gotten so accustomed to people doing that without asking that people think that it's too much to know if it's going on. But it's not. It's within your rights. If you haven't consented, that's a felony.
Crazy.
I don't know where it will go. But really vulnerable people are the most at risk. Yeah, and there's lots of ways that it can be corrupted. The ACLU is very concerned about how it will be used with law enforcement, for example. So my next question, this is important, and it's got a couple of different aspects to it. So let me run through it. So what should we call the new glass holes? I've been thinking meta predators has a nice ring to it. Or does glass holes still work? Which do you prefer?
Oh, I personally prefer meta predators. I feel like that really just goes with it a little bit more. If you've got a stranger recording you through their glasses, it's just a little too sly. It feels like something that a predator would do. I like meta predators.
I was going to say, I love that. I mean, think maybe we could, glass hole could be the general term, and then if they're specifically using the meta ones, then that's where we put that one in. But both are great. Both are equally as accusatory as to what these people are doing.
Oh, that's great. So we've now come up with the alternative brand. That's right. So it's meta predators and glass holes, if you're speaking informally. Thank you. Now we've past something here. Hopefully the wings of the butterfly will take it everywhere.
Now it is time for a quick music break. Here's State of Emergency by DMV Darling, Moo Moo Fresh.
And brulee, greedy to see, but so hard to breathe. A scary backdrop of a movie scene. A catchy caption and no one bothers to read. Taking for granted what we really need. The world is waking up. No time for the parlor tricks. Cause we can't lose focus. Feeling so helpless. All that's been broken, it needs to be fixed. Sign of the times. The cloud causing fire and drought. All of this calamity for corporate greed. Are we willing to die? Cause we lose our foes. This ain't a hoax. Tired of control and it needs to be fixed. Sign of the times is coming quick and we can't.
We can't.
All right. Now it is time for our Drop the Pop pop quiz.
Pop quiz? Aren't we supposed to say that surprise pop quiz? What? Kara,
pop quiz. Pop quiz. So, the pop quiz question. Since you're both seemingly pretty into Frozen for different reasons, could you name the year that Frozen 1 came out and the year that Frozen 2 came out?
Ooh. It's kind of a blur. Because I had a Frozen audience that were keeping me overwhelmed at the time.
I'm going to go 2012 and 2019. That's my guess.
Oh, 2019 is too late, I think.
Really? For Frozen 2?
Yeah. No, but I think I was going to say 2012, 2014, somewhere in there. Because I can remember singing Let It Go at the grocery store with a total stranger. just one of us started, and then we both were singing, standing there on the aisle. But the second one I feel like might have been more like 2017 or 2016.
Well, you're both very close. Not quite, but I'm impressed. The first one was released in 2013, and the second one was released in 2018. Wait, no, 2019. Hold on.
It was 2019?
It was 2019.
Kara was right. Well, it was so terrible, I blocked it out.
It was 2019. I don't know if I ever saw it. That is all we have for you this week. I'm Carrie.
I'm Kira.
And I'm Dior.
As always, thank you so, so much for listening. Tune into WMUC News every Monday at 5 p.m. and Drop the Pop at 5:30 p.m. on 90.5 FM or visit WMUC-FM at wmuc.umd.edu. We're leaving you today with Dog Days Are Over by Florence and the Machine. Until then, this has been
Drop the Pop!
Happiness hit her like a train on a track. Coming towards her, stuck still, no turning back. She hit around corners and she hit under.
The dog days are done. The horse has come.
don't you
all sad.